I want to thank Rabbi Glasser very, very much for that very warm introduction. I appreciate it very much. It is indeed for us at Yeshiva University and at the CJF a tremendous zuchus and a wonderful opportunity to be led by such an extraordinary human being and such an extraordinary rabbi. Rabbi Glasser, we wish you many, many years of kentut hatzlacha in your own shul, in your own community, and now in the broader canvas that you paint upon for the entirety of the Jewish people. I'd like to thank Chaim and Ann Arbisfeld for continuing to be the guiding lights behind this program, this Sunday morning program at Yeshiva University, that this morning I want to dedicate Le'ilui Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav Tzvi Ben Rav Pinchas Umiriam, and I want, with a great deal of respect and love and affection and gratitude, acknowledge the presence of my mother, who joins us here this morning. It's very special, Mami, to see you. And Amir Hashem, we should see one another on this occasion and on many other occasions for a long time. I also want to devote this morning for a refuah shalema for a beloved Rebbe in our yeshiva, a refuah shalema to Rav Moshe Tzvi Ben Freda Simcha, to Rabbi Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. We wish him a refuah shalema. A couple of months ago, a rabbi in the community in which I live in Teaneck, New Jersey, a rabbi in Teaneck by the name of Rabbi Shalom Baum, who's the rabbi of Congregation Keter Torah, brought the source on page one to my attention. Does anybody not yet have a copy of the handout? So here's the following story. It appeared in a sefer called Vaharev Noah by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, who's one of the great Poskim in Eretz Yisrael today. Rabbi Glasser, do you have a copy of the sheets? Okay, we're going to wait for Rabbi Glasser to get a copy. Anybody else need a copy? The microphone is breaking up. So I'll try to do my best. Is that better? Not so better. You'll wave to me if there's a problem. There is a problem. I can tell that. I can't hold it. I need two hands to speak. Okay, we'll try to do the best that I can. Okay, better? Thank you, Nechama. I also want to thank Nechama Cohen very much for everything that she does for Kolel, Medreshet, Yom Rishon, and everything else. And all of the others on the CJF team that are responsible for today. So here's the issue. I want to tell you a story that happened. This is the issue that's presented on page one, and I want to use this as the point of departure for this presentation. So there was a shadchan in Eretz Yisrael who decided that this particular young man would be appropriate. There was a shadchan who decided if you can't hear me, move closer. Can you hear me? There was a shadchan who decided Testing. Are we better? Yeah, good? Okay. There was a shadchan who decided that a particular young man and a particular young woman were appropriate for one another. He goes to the father, to the parents of the girl, he goes to the parents of the boy. They all check each other out, and Baruch Hashem, we have a green light, it's a go. They go out for a couple of dates, and then the young lady comes to her father and tells her father, I think Tati, we're good to go. This is the boy. Tati says, what are you talking about? You only went out for two or three times. So how do you know? It's too soon. She says, no, I know for sure that this is the boy. So he says, okay, I love you. You think that he's appropriate for you, that's great, but here's the deal. The deal is I need you to bring me a handwriting sample from him. Because as you know, my beloved daughter, I am a graphologist. And a graphologist is somebody who studies handwriting, who does handwriting analysis, and can tell from somebody's handwriting the tchunos hanefesh, can tell who they are, what their character is. She thinks it's a little bit odd. She's a little bit upset. She tells the shadchan tells the parents of the guy, the parents of the guy talk to the guy. This is crazy. Since when do we have a handwriting sample? When Avraham sent Eliezer to find a wife, did he tell Eliezer he has to bring home a handwriting sample? We never heard of this. Please go back and say the answer is no. So they tell the shadchan tells the father of the girl the answer is no. The father of the girl said, okay, no shidduch. Done, it's not happening. So they go back and they tell the shadchan tells the parents of the, you know, that's the way it works. The shadchan tells the parents of the boy, no, what are we going to do? We're stuck. So the boy walks into the base medrash and he goes over to Chaim. Chaim is the best per in the yeshiva. And he says to Chaim, remember last week you showed me a shtickel Torah. You showed me something that you wrote on the sugya that we're learning. Do me a favor, I want to look at it again. So Chaim gives him the shtickel Torah, he takes it, he gives it to the shadchan gives it to the father of the girl. The father of the girl looks at it. Unbelievable. What a guy. What a Talmud Chacham, what an Eda Leyit, what a Tchunas HaNefesh, what a Vayla Balmides, what a Talmud, unbelievable, absolutely good to go, 100%, my beloved daughter, you chose so magnificently. It's now the night before the Erison. So they're going to have a L'chaim, a Vorot, I don't know, whatever it's called in that particular community, in order to celebrate the forthcoming marriage. And the young man walks into Rav Zilberstein with the following shaila. A, did I do right? And B, I'm assuming I didn't do right. Am I right now, mechuyev, am I obligated to tell my father-in-law to be what happened? Because I know very well that if I tell my father-in-law to be what happened, it's over. It is absolutely over, betachlis over. It isn't going to happen. I'm going to lose this girl. But on the other hand, maybe I have to fess up. Am I obligated lefi halacha to fess up? I raised this question actually in this room on Wednesday night for a program sponsored by YU Connects. We have a wonderful program at Yeshiva University. There were 150 single men and women sitting in this room. And I presented them the dilemma. And for a half hour, we went back and forth in a discussion about, so what is the appropriate way to proceed? I don't have the luxury to do that now. So as you're thinking, I'll tell you what the psak was. The psak was, and it's all on page one, the psak was that you did not do right, but lo and behold, in fact, you are not obligated to fess up right now. You're not mechuyev to tell the father-in-law what happened, how you achieved, how you got to this point. And the rationale is as follows. This opens up a huge conversation, but this is the basic rationale. The rationale is, if you look on the top left of the first page, shebemokom sheyesh lo adam hefsid lo mutzdak mutar linho kein. When are you not allowed to do what he did? You're not allowed to do what he did if, as a result of this, I'm going to call it inappropriate behavior, he's going to get something that otherwise that otherwise would not be appropriate for him. That if he's going to get something that he shouldn't get, and the only way he's getting it is by this kind of a dre, then you're not allowed to do it. But in this case, what he's doing simply is affirming that which is coming to him. Because according to Jewish law, and as a parent, and now as a grandparent, it's a little bit hard to wrap my mind around this, parents have zero say in the choice of who their children will marry. Lefi halacha, parents have no say whatsoever. So the father, Atzachayim Gemisht, and the father started to make conditions totally inappropriately. She loves him, he loves her, Shalom al Yisrael, let's go to the chuppah. So therefore, what is he doing? He's simply assuring that he gets what he's entitled to get. He's not getting something inappropriately. They have a relationship, they want to get married, that's it. So therefore, in order to affirm and to maintain something that is coming to him, therefore he's allowed to do this and there isn't any problem. Adkan, the answer to the shayla that was posed to Rav Zilberstein. I'm sure you have strong feelings about this, but you'll have to think about it over Rosh Hashanah. The bottom left, he adds the following, another related case. Rav Zilberstein has a shvager, a brother-in-law, who is Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, very well known as the Stipler, lives in Bnei Brak, one of the greatest gedolim of our time. Somebody comes to the Stipler with the following question. A guy walks in, a father walks in, and his daughter is engaged to somebody, and he found handwriting from the chosen to be. He found the handwriting, but it's 3 years old. And he's a graphologist, and he looked at the handwriting, and vi mezukt in Yiddish, se gevor finster in de oigen. He looked at this, and he saw, oh my God, this is horrible. This is terrible. Look at this, I'm reading it, I see, I can add. What's going on? So he goes to the Stipler, and he says, what should I do? Stipler says, don't worry about it. Why? Because the handwriting sample is from 3 years ago. And we Jews have a capacity to change. We Jews have a capacity to make ourselves better. So even if 3 years ago he was, even if you assume he was what is indicated by and represented by his handwriting, which you, the expert, determined to be not such appropriate behavior, but Baruch Hashem, in 3 years, look what a person can accomplish. He's much different now. The father was worried that he's faking, that the kid is faking, that really he's bad and he's just putting on an Einstell. He's acting like he's okay. No, said the Stipler, fine. He's fine, he's great, because the handwriting analysis is 3 years old and is therefore irrelevant. In the course of this discussion, the Stipler stells to a Teferis Yisrael at the end of Masachas Kedushin. We're now on page 2. Teferis Yisrael of Yisrael Lifshitz lived in Germany in the middle of the 19th century, and his commentary, the Teferis Yisrael, made its way into the classic editions of the traditional set of Mishnayos. And the set of Mishnayos, we have the Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura, we have the Tosfos Yom Tov, they flank the Mishnah at the top, and at the bottom we have the Teferis Yisrael, a remarkable, remarkable Jew. Recently, he was the subject of two doctoral dissertations, one from Hebrew University, one from Bar Ilan University, two dissertations that were written at virtually the same time. It's fascinating to read both of them to see the different approaches. But it's clear that he's worthy of a great deal of attention. Tremendous Talmud Chacham, fascinating human being. At the end of Maseches Kedushin, you have the following on page 2, and here's the story. Matzasi, he says, I found Dovar Nechmad. You see on the bottom right, towards the bottom, Vahu Alpi Mashe Kosav Dovar Nechmad. I found something really interesting. The context in which he introduces this is not for now, but the story is fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu developed an extraordinary reputation. Moshe Rabbeinu helped the Jews get out of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu bested Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu helped to move the Jews, Yitzias Mitzrayim, 7 days later, Kriyas Yamsuf, 7 weeks later, Matan Torah, an amazing reputation. He takes a band of slaves and he creates a Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, miracle after miracle, the Mun and the Be'er and the Anane Kavod. Everybody, the whole world's a Tutzach, everybody's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. So there was an Arab king who wanted to get a sense about who this great leader is. So he sent an artist to the Israelite camp to somehow paint a portrait of Moshe. So Moshe walks around the camp. I can't imagine that he made an appointment that Moshe was sitting for the portrait. Surreptitiously, he figured out, he sees him, he runs back, he paints, he comes back, and he brings the portrait to the Arab king. Looks at it, ganz fine, very nice. And the Arab king called in a number of advisors who were what we call physiognomists. Physiognomists are those who can study a person's character from their face. So if a graphologist can study from the handwriting. A physiognomist studies from the face. And he says to his chevra physiognomists, here's a portrait of this person, tell me what he's like. And they look at it, nachamu v'mezut in Yiddish, zeved finster in the oeil. I can't believe it. And the list of things that they say about him, he is gaiva, chemdas hamama, shrivus lev, kol chesrono sheba olam. Terrible person, terrible character. He's haughty. He wants money. Terrible things. And the Arab king is taken aback, and he tells them, you guys obviously have no idea what you're saying, because this is the great Moshe. They say, what we're telling you is absolutely truth. It must be that the artist didn't paint it correctly. Calls in the artist swears that he painted Moshe exactly the way Moshe appears, and that the other guys don't know what they're talking about. So Setzitza Chavtishan of Bank, there's a whole big discussion. The Arab king says, this is all in the Tiferes Yisrael on page 2. There's no way I'm going to resolve this. Picks himself up. He goes to the Israelite camp, and he sees Moshe, and sure enough, Moshe looks exactly like he looked in the portrait that was painted for him by his artist. Now he's in a quandary, he doesn't understand. So he goes over to Moshe, and he says, Moshe, I don't understand. You look exactly as you looked in the portrait that I had painted for me of you, and my chevra say that I'm just a little comfortable to say this, he says, but they tell me that you're not so wonderful. They tell me that, on the contrary, that's putting it mildly. What's going on? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, and it's on the bottom left, towards the bottom left, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Omnam kein yedidi, right before where it's underlined. Lo evosh lo malach, I'm not going to be embarrassed to tell you, ki chol hachesronos, asher shaftu olai chachamecha, kulam kishurim bi detefa. You're right, that my core personality reflects everything that your physiognomist said about me. All of these terrible things, they are part of the essence of my being. The Efsherod Yosem Asher Shaftu Chachamecha. As a matter of fact, it might even be worse. It might even be worse than what they said about me. However, I bin Achmeisha Rabbeinu, Va'ani Bekoach Amitz, Hine his chazakti v'radisi v'kavashti osa. I worked on myself. I pushed hard. I struggled to overcome my base negative instincts. V'kavashti osa. And I conquered them. Ad asher kanisi lihifucham l'tevasheni. Until now, I am exactly the opposite. So even though at my core I am what would appear that I am, and I admit to you that in fact I am that at my core, and maybe even worse than that, but you should know I was misgaber, I worked, I struggled, chagaharavit, I worked on myself, I made myself better, and I became Moshe Rabbi. So, says the Stipler, you can work on yourself, and the handwriting sample from 3 years ago is today irrelevant. Now, if we had the time, I would invite you to engage in a conversation. So what do you think about this story about Moshe? Does this make you comfortable? Does this make you respect Moshe more? Does this make you respect Moshe less? So one could argue, and I would imagine this was going through the mind of the Baal Teferis Yisrael, wow, Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of the great, models for us what it means to overcome challenges. That we're all born imperfect, we all have struggles, we all have issues, and even Moshe Rabbeinu, who apparently was faced with the most intractable challenges of all, was able to overcome them, to be misgaber, and to turn into Moshe Rabbeinu. So maybe we too will never be like Moshe, but the notion that you could grapple with issues, fundamentally core issues of your life and your personality, you can grapple with them, you could work on yourself, you could change and overcome them, is such a gift, because he models for us this capacity. So that's one perspective, and I imagine the Teferis Yisrael felt that way. He didn't feel upset or embarrassed or uncomfortable. However, the other side was much louder and much more vociferous. The top of page 3, I bring you from the title page of a pamphlet that was published about 50 years after the Tiferes Yisrael by a Rab Chaim Yitzchak Aharon, who lived in Vilkomir and then moved to Yerushalayim. And in 1895, he publishes a pamphlet called Kalil Tiferes. I want to express my gratitude to Professor Schneer Lyman, who wrote an article on this subject called The Portrait of Moses. You have the reference to the article at the bottom of the second page. Kuntris Kalil Tiferes. The Kuntris Hazeh, we're now at the top of page 3. Banu Lahir, Amashe He'ida HaTorah HaKadosha, Amoshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, Shehaya Mitol Duso Kolul Mikol Tov. I want to underscore the fact and to draw our attention to the fact that our Torah testifies that Moshe Rabbeinu was from his very childhood adorned with all goodness. Like the Pasuk says, when he was born, Vatera Osoki Tovhu, they saw that he was good. And Chazal tell us, quoted by Rashi, that the house was full of light. He's a little pitzala. He was just born, little tiny Moshele. And yet he exudes such incredible light because he is so perfect from birth, from the very beginning. Ach Iker Mahus Hatov Shezocha, Pir Shulon Rabosenu Chachme Atamud HaKadosh, Vahazor HaKadosh BeKabbalasam. Our rabbis in the Talmud and the Halakha Zohar tell us and have a tradition, Shezocha Mitolduso, from his very childhood, he merited, Shelozoza Ruach HaKadosh Mimenu Tamid, Vigamashchina Haisa Imo, an amazing human being from the very beginning of his life. Why do I have to go out of my way to say this in this first paragraph on the title page of this book? So he continues, Amnam, Zemi Korov Kechamishim Jana, about 50 years ago, Nimtzo Le'echad Migedole Hador. Notice that he has a great deal of respect for the Tiferes Yisrael, V'hu Baal Tiferes Yisrael. They had to deal with the Tiferes Yisrael. They couldn't just simply say, no, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He was a Gadol Hador. He had a tremendous reputation. So now they're stuck because the Tiferes Yisrael is telling you a story that would seem to, not seem to, that is exactly in opposition to this tradition that we have. Amnam ze mikarv kechamishim shana nimtzo lechad migidol yador v'ubal Tiferes Yisrael shehitik b'chibur oso seder nashim. In his work on the Mishnayos at the end of Seder Nashim, which is Masachas Kedushin, the last Masachta in Nashim, and at the end of Masachas Kedushin, Michtav Echad Shenimtzo V'lo Noda Klal Mikosvo, he quotes somebody, a Dover Nechmad, but he doesn't quote who the author is, he doesn't quote where he got it from. V'sham Heyid, Al Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholom, Shehoyim Eitivo Rama Alalim. He was bad, he was in his core bad, and he had tremendous deficiencies. Was Mamash Nebuch the opposite of being such a nice person? So Rabbi Chaim Yitzchak Aharon Vilkomir now goes after the Tiferes Yisrael, and he says, with all due respect, this writer who brings this story, he did two terrible things. Number one, ha'echad. It goes against, it flies in the face of our tradition. Our tradition, Chazal, Zohar, our tradition says that Moshe Rabbeinu was awesome and amazing and extraordinary and perfect from birth. And he is now opposing that. That can't be. And second of all, Vahashenis, Shebizo Vechireif, Es Kedosh Hashem Kedosh Yisrael. He embarrassed Moshe Rabbeinu. He said terrible things about Moshe Rabbeinu. How can you say that about Moshe Rabbeinu? It's not just that it flies in the face of rabbinic tradition, but it's an embarrassment. It's a bazillion for Moshe to say that Moshe, at his core, has all of these terrible characteristics. Fair. How can you talk like that? It's not nice. You don't embarrass Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lachein, and therefore, obviously, hiskimu go'onei dorenu, sha'amichtav hanizkor, Neatak me is a chronic. It comes from some chronic somewhere, some chronicle, some favor from a place that has zero, less than zero credibility. V'lakach lo gilu lanu mikosvo. It's a shtikel ha'shtach to the Tiferes Yisrael. He didn't want to tell us where he got it from, because he got it from some off a wall place that has no legitimacy, it has no validity at all, can't be. And therefore, l'zos nisoranu l'chaber ha'kunches hazeh. Therefore, I felt aroused to write this, make a machah, to tell the world that the Tiferes Yisrael is wrong. It's about a 25-page pamphlet. I only gave you the cover page. Asher bo birarnu, in which we are going to make it absolutely clear, shahamichtav hanizkor kulo mizuyaf. Mizuyaf means it's a forgery. It's a forgery. The sheker muchlat. If he would have said sheker alone, that would have been enough for me. But it's not just sheker. It's not just false, but it's v'mezuk tif tire false. It's sheker muchlat. And Aran Yavar from on top of that, the gaminus nizrikabo. It's heresy. It's heretical to say this about Moshe Rabbeinu. Uzechus kedushas Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom yogin l'chol mishi yekana l'chvoidai. Now the chnemzachon the kribda. I'm taking on the cudgels on behalf of the reputation of Moshe. So I'm appealing to the zchus of Moshe Rabbeinu that it should shine upon me. And ubezchusoi niske ligeula krova amen kein yehi ratzo. So the opposition to the Tiferes Yisrael story, which the Tiferes Yisrael thought was reasonable and authentic and legitimate, in fact maybe even didactic, maybe we could even learn something from it, the opposition was not long in coming, and it was indeed quite vociferous. The bottom of the page, I brought you from a statement made by the great Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. We know about Rav Cook. We're starting now and gearing up for a Shemitah year. Rav Cook comes around during Shemitah. Rav Cook comes around all the time. One of the greatest religious Zionist intellectuals and thinkers of the 20th century, a chief rabbi of Israel. Rav Cook was then the chief rabbi in a little shtetl in Russia, in Boisk, and he wrote the following. He writes a letter, and it's published in the Sefer Shaar HaShimon that was published in Tofresh Samach Beis, which is 1902. So now 7 years later, in this book, quoting a letter from Rav Cook, Rav Cook is very upset by what the Tiferes Yisrael wrote about Moshe Rabbeinu. He says it can't be. He quotes from this Sefer, the Kalil Tiferes, and he says the Ari, the great Ari, the great Kabbalist, says that Moshe Rabbeinu had the sanctity from birth, and the only reason Moshe Rabbeinu's soul had to come down to this earth is not because it needed a tikkun, not because the soul needed to come to this earth in order to somehow be purified, but it came to this earth, it didn't at all need to be purified, only for the sake of the Jewish people. And then he quotes Chazal about the light that filled the room where Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And then he quotes a biography of Moses by Philo. Philo was a Jewish philosopher who lived in the first century of the Common Era in Egypt. Philo wrote Life of Moses, and Rav Cook quotes Philo, who presents Moshe as being absolutely perfect. So Vina Gitza Chadre, you want to go to Kabbalah, you want to go to Rishonim, you want to go to the rabbinic tradition, you want to go to Philo, Kulam Haidu Vim Lichu Va'amru, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of the great. So what are you talking about? How could this be? The top of page 4, in 1955, Rabbi Yehuda Leib HaKohen Maimon, who was a fishman, who changed his name to Maimon, very, very prominent religious Zionist leader in the early years of the State of Israel, is writing an article in a journal called Sinai, and he's writing about the different months, and he's writing about the significance of the different months, and he goes day by day, month by month, what is significant. So he's writing about Chodesh Adar, and then he gets to Zion Adar. Zion Adar, of course, is known as both the birthday and the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he talks a lot about the significance of Zion Adar, and then he adds, at the top of page 4, I'm a redshine from Moshe Rabbeinu, I need to tell you something that is extremely disturbing to me. וכשאני מצמצם את עצמי ואס קולמוסי לכתוב רק על יום לידוסו פטירוסו של משה רבנו ביום השביעי לחודש אדר, while I'm now focusing on both the birthday and the yortzeit of Moshe, which is Zayin Adar, motze ani li lechova, I find it an obligation on my part, lahabia et kol hazaam v'zaazuei halev b'shem kol emune shlome emune Yisrael. I need to express the upset, the bitterness, the shaking of the heart. It's terrible. I have to mention, on behalf of all pious Jews, Shlomei Amunei Yisrael, Benogea L'Sipur Badui Echad, with regard to some foolish story, Al Odos Tchunosov Shel Moshe Rabbeinu B'nei B'yemei Yaldusu Unu Rav, about the character of Moses when he was a little boy and when he was a young child, Shehichnis Echad Migedolei Yisrael, again, that one of the Gedolei Yisrael, Yisrael Lifshitz, put into the Sifra Tiferes Yisrael al Mishnayis. The Im Kol Bakoshas Haslicha Me'eis Rav Godol Zeh, and with all due respect to this great rabbi, you know what happens when somebody begins a sentence with, I'm asking for mechila from this great rabbi, okay, now that I said he's a great rabbi, now I'm gonna, in the kishkes, mit debay de zat, and he goes after him. Terrible. With all due respect to this gadol, and he refers to him as echad mi gadol Yisrael, Rabbi Maimon / Fishman is beside himself. I need to make a macha b'shem emunei shlomei Yisrael. How could you talk like this? How could you say that? And he's very upset because he quotes two books that he read that took this story and accepted the story. So now it's worse. Not only did the Tiferes Yisrael write it, but he's now influencing other Vela Shena Eden to actually believe this. And how could it be? It's impossible. It can't be. Towards the bottom of the right-hand side, the line beginning Adon Hanavim. Adon Hanavim, it's like 10 lines from the bottom. Mashemafli umaknet biyosef, that which is most upsetting and most wondrous. Kichol asipur hazeh, this entire story. Milvad masha onu makirim ba'atzmenu es kol hasheker v'haziyuf shabo, in addition to the fact that we ourselves just simply clearly, just sort of intuitively recognize that it's false and a forgery, you just have to read it and it just rubs you so the wrong way that it's inconceivable that this could be true. But in addition to that, milvad, the intrinsic visceral negative reaction we have to this, and therefore we have to say that it can't be. Hareihu kulo misnage l'masha kosev b'Torah u'b'midrashei chachamenu, it's keneged Chazal. And he goes through source after source, where in our rabbinic literature, Moshe Rabbeinu is presented mibetenu mileida as the greatest of the great, the most perfect of the perfect. And on the top left-hand side, he quotes Philo. Nach Philo arangevorfen. Philo also said, Philo already understood. Philo knew, a Greek Jewish philosopher knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of the great from his birth. What are you saying? What are you talking about? And so he concludes, he says, it came to my attention that a publishing company by the name of El HaMikorot is now about to publish a new edition of the traditional Mishnayos with the regular commentaries, and that's fine, that's wonderful, Tavo Aleihem Bracha, but I insist that they simply take out this section of the Tiferes Yisrael at the end of Maseches Kedushin. They can't reprint it because it's terrible. How could they do that? How could they include it? Mela, what was printed, bad enough. But now we're starting again. Now we're going to print it again. They have to take it out. And I actually remember, and regretfully, I was looking and looking and looking in anticipation of today's talk. I remember I once saw a set of Mishnayos, a traditional set of Mishnayos, and when we come to this page in the Tiferes Yisrael, it's just blank. You have till the part about Davar Nechmad, and then it picks up, and it's this part on the top right column has, and the bottom left column has, and the rest is blank. There's not even an attempt to sort of reframe the page to let it be assumed that everything follows seamlessly. And I wanted to find it, and I wanted to copy it, and I wanted to show it to you, that Rav Maimon actually was successful. Ad kedei kach, the opposition to this door. You can't say this about Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, human beings have a capacity to change. And the Stipler was right that a handwriting analysis from 3 years ago is irrelevant to now, because 3 years is a long time. That's three Rosh Hashanahs and three Yom Kippurs. And there's a lot that we could accomplish during that time. But to Chas V'Shalom say this about Moshe Rabbeinu is simply unacceptable. Now, there is such a story that has made its way into our tradition, and that's at the bottom of page four. There's a Shita Mekubetzes, a late medieval, early modern collection of Meforshim on different Mesechtes. There's a Shita Mekubetzes at the end of the third parak of Maseches Nedarim. So we have such a story in our literature, but you'll see in a moment it is not presented in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu. Kiahu Maisa B'chacham Echad, bottom of page four, story is told about a great scholar. Sholach Demus Partzufo L'chacham Acher Shehoya Makir B'demus HaPartzufin. So a wise person sent a portrait of his to a physiognomist. Nitman Mipnei Ma'avusoseha Ma'bi'asuseha Dahahu Partzuf. So the physiognomist took a look at it, was very upset, and he hid because he didn't want to have to explain what this is. He looked at this portrait of somebody who was known to be a Chacham Echad, and he sees, because he's an expert, that at his core he's really not such a nice person. L'sof Sha'alo, so then the Shaliach who brought the portrait to him eventually asked him, Lama Nitma Mimena, why are you hiding from me? I brought the portrait to get a report. I would need to bring a report back to my Chacham who sent me. You're hiding from me. Why? Va'ana, and the person answered, Oso ha-partzuf me'odam ra. That partzuf, that portrait, comes from a terrible person. She'en kidemuso, there was nobody like him. There's nobody as bad as him. It's a chamdan. He desires, he's over le'sachma, he can no way. He's immoral, chalistim, he's a robber. Ve'en lahabit olav. Can't look at him. So now the Shaliach who brought the portrait to the expert, Nisyore Miloshev Eladonov, that's all he needs. He's going to go back to his master, the Chanu. No, Shlomi, what did the guy say? And Shlomi has to deliver the report, and it's not a happy place to be, so he just dilly-dallies, he doesn't want to go. Acheshovachelov, until the Chacham finally sends to him, Shalo Yiramimenu, don't be afraid, just come, I need to have it, I need to know exactly what he said. V'sho'alo kol ha'inyan, and he asked him, nu, what happened? V'amralo kol ma she'shama, v'lochen yireisi l'shuv elecha. He tells him exactly what he heard, and he says, you understand now why I was afraid to come back to you. I didn't want to have to give you the bad news. I didn't want to tell you that really you're a lowlife. I mean, I can't, how can I say that to you? Omar, so what did the Chacham say? V'vadei ein Chacham kama osam bala partzuf. The physiognomist, right on the money. He's 100% right. Whatever he said about me, taiva, chendas hamamon, listim, whatever he said about me is 100% correct. Shemin hakol amar emes, sheyitzri megarebi, umesis osilasos kozos. I have a huge yetzahara, and my yetzahara goads me, pushes me, it entices me to doing all of these things. My yetzahara is massive. And I really want to do that, and that's what I am at my core. Avo, ha-chochma, shebi, mona'as osimi kol zeh. But I overcome this from my wisdom. I work on myself to be misgaber over the Yetzirah. So we have pretty much an exactly similar kind of a story, but all the difference in the world is that it's not mentioned in the context of Moshe. So Professor Lyman in his article, it's a fascinating article, Kiyad Hashem HaTova Olav, he knows everything about everything, and he traces where the story comes from. It comes from, first from the Greek tradition, and it's said about Socrates, and it's said about Aristotle, and then about 40 years before the Tiferes Yisrael, it somehow slipped its way into the Jewish community. With regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tiferes Yisrael picks it up, and then all the opposition develops. The point of all of this is to create a context in which to examine the question about the capacity of human beings to change. Leaving aside the question about Moshe Rabbeinu, certainly I don't want to be Machnis Roshi Bein Heharim. I'm very sensitive to the critique of the Tiferes Yisrael. At the same time, I also understand that the Tiferes Yisrael also, a Gavein Avoy Layit and a big Talmud Chachamim, did not obviously consider this story to be offensive. And I think it's a fascinating discussion that you could have amongst yourselves at some point, raise the question at some Shabbos table and try to elicit a discussion. But the question is a core question. The question is, as framed on page 5 by the Rambam in Perek Vav in the Shmone Prakim, the Rambam has a parish on the Mishnah. The Rambam has a commentary on the Mishnah. And the commentary on the Mishnah sometimes has excursies, has not just the parish on the Mishnah, but there are essays. So the Hakadama to the parish on Mishnayis is one long, long, long essay before he even gets the Maseches Brachas, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. He traces the Shalshelas of Torah Shebaal Peh. Then there's a long excursus in the beginning of the 10th Perek of Maseches Sanhedrin and Perek Chelek, where he talks about the 13 principles of faith and more. The Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, the 13 principles of faith, were first formulated by the Rambam in his commentary on the Mishnah on the 10th Perek, on the 10th chapter, Maseches Sanhedrin. It's a long, long Arichas. And the last, the third, or maybe the second, chronologically, is in his Akdamah to Perek Pirkei Avos. So the Rambam has a Perek Mishnayos on Avos, but he has an Akdamah, an introduction to his commentary to Pirkei Avos, which is known as the Shmona Prakim, because, guess why? Because the introduction has Shmona Prakim. It's divided up into 8 chapters, it's known as the 8 chapters. In chapter 6, this is the issue that the Rambam grapples with. And I invite you to take a look at it. You have the original on the top right, and you have the English translation. Who is greater? Who is greater? In the formulation of the Rambam, is a Moshel Benafsho greater, or is a Chassid Mitivo greater? Who's a greater human being? Somebody who was born Chassid Mitivo, who never tasted or even dreamt about or even imagined any evil or any bad or any misbehavior, pure, from the beginning, that the very teva of that person is a chassid, mamish, absolute purity, tahara, kedusha, nothing, knows nothing else, or is the greater person someone who has to face challenges, but as Moshel overcomes them, and in spite of the challenges, in spite of not only wanting averos, but maybe even doing averos, is able to extricate themselves from the base reality and core instinctual characteristics that are part of their being and overcome them, maybe that's greater. And it's a whole fascinating discussion to try to determine who's the purer, who's the greater, who's the more exalted human being. Somebody who's a Chassid Mitivo, I've met a lot of wonderful people in my life. I think it would be hard to say that people are a chassid mitivo. I think all of us fall into the category of those who have to struggle and who have temptations and who perhaps on occasion may even have succumbed to some of those temptations. But yet if we work on ourselves, we can become exalted human beings. The fact that we're dealt, whatever we're dealt with in life, doesn't mean that we're stuck, but it means that we now have a job to try to make ourselves better to the extent to which we can. And that is, in fact, precisely what these days are all about, to try to make ourselves stronger and better, to recognize the reality that we face, to recognize the world that just passed, and everything that we had to deal with and all of the challenges. And there are often substantial challenges, challenges about health, challenges about finances, challenges about relationships. I want to come back to this in a moment. The challenges that we face, we're only human beings. Not everything goes perfectly for us. But to recognize that we're not doomed, it's not because malignant dread, because we're facing all of these difficulties that we're stuck, but we're not stuck. But we have a capacity to try to transcend them. We have a capacity to try to change ourselves. We have a capacity to try to make a substantial difference. You look at the top of the last page, there is an amazing Yerushalmi. There's Yerushalmi in Maseches Makos that says something that I think is for me, and I would hope, I believe for you also, deeply empowering and deeply inspiring. The Yerushalmi says, Sha'alu l'chachma, that they went to wisdom, top of the last page. They went to wisdom, and they said to wisdom, Sha'alu l'chachma, chote mahu oncho. What's the punishment you have to give to somebody who sins? Amra lahem, chataim terade fra. You did an avera, you're sunk. Evil will pursue you. You have to pay up. You did something wrong, you did a chait, you have to be punished. That's what chachma said. Sha'alu l'nevuah, so they went to prophecy. Chote mahu oncho. What happens if somebody who sins, what's the punishment? Amra lahen, hanefesh hachota, si tamus. That's it. Curtains. It's over. You sin, you have to be punished. That's what prophecy said. Sha'alu l'kutcha b'richu chote mahu oncho. So they went to God himself, and they said, what happens if you sin? So God says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amar lohen, yaseh tshuva v'yischaper lo. Chochma could not conceive of the concept of tshuva. Nevuah could not conceive of the concept of tshuva. What are you talking about? It defies any logic. It defies any prophetic insight. You did something wrong, you have to pay for it. That's it. End of conversation. You're stuck. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Sha'alu l'kutcha b'richu. You're not stuck. There's a way that you could change. Slichas, Rosh Hashanah, Shabbat Shuva, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Kol Nidrei Night, Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah. You could do something. You could make a difference. Yaseh Tshuva, you could change. You could change. You're not locked in. You're not stuck. You can extricate yourself. You can better yourself. You can bring yourself to higher levels. The Rabbonu Shel Olam knows what Chachma and Nevuah don't know. You would imagine what could be smarter than Chachma and what could be more full of inspiration than Nevuah? And the answer is they got it wrong. With the Allah Chachma, with the Allah Nevuah, they didn't get it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Yaseh Tshuva, V'yischaper. I want to conclude with a beautiful word that I heard from Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik many years ago. In the first day of creation, on the bottom right of the last page, the first day of creation ends with an extra letter. Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ves haaretz. We're going to read it soon in a couple of weeks. Vayikra Elokim la'or yom v'lachoshech kara loyla v'yihi erev v'yihi voker yom echad. Va'yihi erev. The Vav in our Hebrew language is known as a connector. The Vav hachibur. It's and. And there was night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day. What do you mean and? It's the first day. And means there's something else and there's the first day of creation. What are you talking about? There is no and. What's it connecting to? Shalom Aleichem, it's the first day of creation. Hi, it's the world. This is the world. First day. What's the and? And before? What's before? There's nothing before the first day the world was created. Zakta Medrash there was. Zakta Medrash as follows. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Barab Simo. Yehi Erev Ein Ksiv Kan, Ela Vayehi Erev. Mikan Shehoya Seder Zmanim Kodem Lachem. There was a whole period of time. There was a whole unfolding of time before the first day of creation. Amar Rabbi Avo Melame, Shehoya Borei Olamos Umachrivan, Achebara Esel. God created many worlds before he created this world. Amar, and he finally said, Dain Hanyanli, this world, I like this world. This world is a keeper. We're going to stay with this world. Hanyan, Yashon lo hanyanli. The other worlds I didn't like so much. So therefore, when we come to the first day of creation, we're connecting to something that predated creation. Because there were creations before this creation. God didn't like those creations. This creation God liked. Ask Rabbi Soloveitchik, what? What are you talking about? How could you say that? Who's the creator? God is the creator. But God couldn't figure it out the first time. God couldn't figure out how to create a world that he liked the first time. A created world. Nope. Whoops. Nah, not a good world. We're going to dump this world. Creates another world. Nah, I don't think we're going to stick with this world. Chazal tell us somewhere there was something like 900 and something worlds. 900 and something worlds. And he finally got it right. Oh, they ain't hurting on me. This world, I like this world. Why couldn't he figure it out the first time? We're talking God here, asks Rabbi Soloveitchik. And he says something that carries me through this time of year, every single year, taught Rabbi Soloveitchik. Of course, the God didn't need practice. God didn't need to practice how to make a world before he got it right. And God, of course, could have gotten it right the first time. But God deliberately didn't get it right the first time to teach us a lesson. That if God could not get it right the first time, then we also may not necessarily get it right the first time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in an act of supreme chesed, modeled for us the capacity of a human being to be able to pick themselves up after failure, after a world created that didn't work out, and try again and to create another world. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't need to do this for the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam needed to do this, not needed, but did, because of his greatness and goodness. He did it so that we should get chizuk and say, you know, Hashem himself didn't get it right the first time. So the fact that I didn't get it right the first time, or the second time, or the tenth time, still gives me the capacity to continue. What happened with Adam HaRishon? One day Adam HaRishon comes home, and what does he see? He comes home and he sees one son is murdered, and one son is a murderer. What a horrible thing! One son is murdered, and the murderer is his other son. What kind of world is this? What kind of family is this? My world is shattered. My world is destroyed. One kid killed another kid. It's crazy. What does Adam HaRishon do? He picks himself up and he creates another family. He tries again and he continues. We attempt to build many worlds. We attempt in our own personal lives to build worlds of financial worlds. We try to do the best that we can. And sometimes there are significant challenges. We try to build worlds of health, and sometimes there are significant challenges. We try to build worlds of relationships. We invest a lot in building worlds of relationships. And sometimes they don't always work out. And I would say that the issue with the relationships that we have is not because in most cases there's some cataclysmic split. In some cases there's a cataclysmic break. But it's just over the course of time, husbands and wives and husbands, just drift apart. We just drift apart. It's not like we're angry at each other. It's not like we can point to a specific event as a catalyst. You know, the world that we dreamt of when we were younger just isn't happening anymore. It's just not there. We drifted. Parents and children. Children and parents. The relationships, the worlds that we struggled so much to create. Sometimes it's a cataclysmic ending. Parents pass away. Issues with children, sargidul banim. The worlds that we create sometimes don't last. And now it's before Rosh Hashanah. What are we going to do about it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let me take you by the hand. I'm going to take you by the hand. Because sometimes maybe you have some responsibility for this. It's not just something happened. We're responsible for the world not being sustainable. So Hashem says, you know what? Try again. I tried again. I also didn't get it right. I also failed the first couple of times. It also didn't work out for me. So I want it to work out for you. I want to show you that you can continue and try again. And like it worked out for me, maybe in Metz Hashem it will work out for you. That we have the capacity to try to change and to make it different and to make it better and to extend ourselves and to rectify the situation and to recognize that to the extent to which part of that belongs to me, so I'm going to change and I'm going to be different. And my relationships will be much more profound, much more meaningful, and much more lasting. And so now, as we count down to Rosh Hashanah, and Shabbat Shuvah, and Aser Simei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, let us try to draw chizuk from no less than the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And to recognize that whatever our handwriting may be, and whatever our portraits may be, we have the capacity to make ourselves different. And with this optimism, we should enter into the Yemei Hadin. And with our efforts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant all of us, commensurate with the efforts that we put in, Ishnas Chaim V'Shalom, a year of good health, a year of peace, a year of shalom for us and for the entire Jewish people.